Any questions from anyone?
Krishna is the supreme man and Radharani is the supreme female. And she is described as being very beautiful. Prakriti, material nature, is also described as being female. And so is the Jiva soul. So I was wondering what relation there is, like if they are also part of the
in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ultimate description of the Supreme Reality, Janmadyasya Yataha, that everything's coming from Krishna. So, in one sense, Vedanti Tat Tatvividas Tattvam Yajjnanam Advayam, there's only one thing, and there's only one thing to know. It means, in one sense, in a matter of speaking, there's only Krishna. There is no such thing as non-Krishna. That's a misconception. We're living in a world of misconception. But really, there's only Krishna. Advaya again. One thing to know, there's just one substance. Janmadyasya yataha, and from that everything has come. So superficially, this appears to support monism, their idea. But the Bhagavatam says that one substance, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdite, can be understood in three aspects. Brahma, we're told, greater than the greatest, all accommodating. Paramatma, smaller than the smallest, all permeating. And then Bhagavan, which sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj described as the central conception of the infinite, means who's has infinite qualities. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasya shashriya jnana vairagya yoschapi shunan bhagiti vina. Unlimited opulence, aishwarya, beauty. Sri means beauty. Sri also means Radharani, by extension Lakshmi, Shakti. Virya, inconceivable strength, yashasha, fame, jnana, omniscient, vairagya. Detached in the sense, bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshram. Everything is his and meant for his pleasure. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Das Mool, elucidates 10 principles. He summarizes Krishna consciousness, or reality, if you want to say, is we're talking about reality, which is synonymous with Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not some division or aspect. It's Amnaya Prahatattvam. To get a proper estimation of this, we'll have to come under the influence of revealed truth, not empiric observation or the best thoughts of man, what people have been able to conjecture on the basis of their experience, but Amnaya, revealed truth, the infinite making itself known to the finite. As Srila Guru Maharaj was challenged by a man who said, if the finite can know the infinite, it's not infinite. And that's half true. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavye Grayam Indriye. The name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna are beyond comprehension. Mentally, intellectually. So he was half right in saying that. From what he could understand. If the finite can comprehend this, by finite means, then it can't really be the infinite. It's something short of that. Something less than that. It may be decorated with names like infinite, God, ultimate, but then it can't be. But Guru Maharaj's response to him was, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, then he's not infinite. So reality is for itself, by itself. He exists to fulfill his own purpose. Whatever pleases Krishna is Leela. He also reveals himself through the agency of Guru or scripture, revealed truth. And what are they most frequently? The recorded inspiration of saints. He's revealed something of himself to them, and in their ecstatic rapture, we can say, that's recorded somewhere as scripture, revealed truth. So another way of looking at it is the revelation of who Krishna is really substantially through the devotee. So that very Bhagavatam that's taking our attention, taking us to the domain of the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, Srila Guru Maharaj will say, means Krishna and accompanied by his potency. Sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj will say that the Srimad Bhagavatam takes us from the plane of intellectualism to the domain of rasa. And rasa necessarily indicates exchange, interaction, pastimes, loving relationships. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, after these introductory slokas are there to tell us Janmadyastya Yataha, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur saying this, says the word Adi is there, which means the original. Everything is sprung out of what plane originally? He's saying that is a reference to Madhura Rasa. And in this world we get the idea that, as Vidyapati says in one place, yeah, there's pleasure here. So-called pleasure here. It's like a drop of water in the desert. Like, yeah, there's water in the desert. Yeah, there's pleasure in this world. There's rasa here, if you want to. a drop of water in the desert. So it's perverted, inverted. So you have the idea that that'll be the most minuscule substance, and the greater thing will be consciousness or some such thing. The extremes of the infinite. But the Bhagavatam announces in the very beginning, saying, no, everything is sprung out of pleasure, of anandam, madhura rasa, Vrindavan, Krishna Leela. Everything's coming from there. So what appears to be the occupy the most limited position here is actually unlimited there. So anandam, the plane of rasa, happiness, love, ecstasy, beauty, that's the all-comprehensive plane from which everything has come. It's personified as Krishna. Akhila Rasamrita Murti means he's infinite beauty, charm, sweetness, ecstasy, love, personified. So when Vyas, after giving all these Vedic literatures, compiling them for the benefit of human civilization, human civilization means to culture. Human civilization is about inner culture, inner development. That means necessarily consciousness. So what he presented was to augment human civilization. There's some understanding of that everywhere. It goes under the name of culture. So the more refined, educated people are, they're engaged in some appreciation of culture. But really what it means is conscious development. And where does consciousness find its fullest expression is in feeling. Which again brings us back to anandam. So Vyas, we're told, even though he's served human civilization more than anyone by compiling the Vedas, so there's nothing greater he could have done to serve all humanity. He's feeling despondent. There's something inside. He's not feeling satisfaction. And Narada comes to diagnose that condition. And Vyas thinks, what does he say? Kova Bhagavata Dharma Priya Paramahamsanam Tadeva Yakita Priya. Maybe it's because I did not, in one thing you can say, tell the truth. This is inconceivable. In consideration of what he's given, he's saying, maybe it's because I didn't tell the full truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. What is that? He's already given something about Krishna, Radharani, gopis, different places. But the way it was given, it could be taken as something less than what it actually is. Everything's open to interpretation. That's why reality is never the shell, but the substance within. So here it says, Priya Paramahamsanam, what is most dear, what is really loved by them? Those who know how to extract this substance. Many people, the people in general, they do not know how to extract the substance, so naturally their emphasis is going to go towards the shell of a thing, the formal aspect. But what the Paramahansas, and who are they, really, ultimately? Natata priyatama atmayonya na shankara nacha sankarsana na sri naivatma chayata bhavan. Really, this means devotees. And if we systematically observe or chart devotion, we'll see that this takes us to the domain of Vrindavan, the Brajagopis, Asamaho Charanayinu Jusamahamsham, Vrindavane Kimapi Kumala Tosadinam. There are no greater devotees than the Brajagopis. And then if we see within that group, they're the ones who are engaged in the culture of Krishna Prem. They personify Krishna Prem. And of all of them, the one who possesses Krishna Prem to such a degree that it can counsel all the others, Radha Madaya Hridaya Tatyaja Braja Sundari, is Srimati Radharani. And this is Priya Paramahansa Nam Tadeva Yachuta Priya. Saying, ostensibly, I didn't tell everyone the truth about Achyuta Priya. Means Krishna is Achyuta Priya. But also, Achyuta meaning Krishna, Priya, Radharani, the one who's most dear. We can say in another way, saying, because I didn't reveal her glories, I didn't tell the world really, truly about the glories of Srimati Radharani, the exalted position of the devotee of Krishna. Therefore, I'm feeling despondent. Now I have to do that. So Srila Guru Maharaj is composed on Soka, as Gurudev mentioned the other day, was part of his introduction to his what would have been a collection of 300 slokas. Srimad Bhagavatam, we're told, Krishne Shadamo Bhagate Dharma Gyani Dibik Saha Kalo Nashta Dushamesha Purana Ko Dinoditaha. When Krishna left the whole world was plunged into darkness. The sun set. So, and we're talking about for people who are conscious. Everything is consciousness. Everything has, the consciousness is the foundation of everything. So if someone said, oh, but there were some people alive, that's immaterial. The world was plunged into darkness. So, in the beginning, again, the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. Now, where do we get illumination? Krishna, Krishna, he is the sun. He is set from this world. Kalo nashtar dushamesha, and the Kali Yuga is set in. The darkness of ignorance is enveloping everything. How will the people see? Where will they get direction from? Kalo nashtar dushamesha. Purana arko dinodata. This Bhagavat Purana. You know what an arc lamp is? Arc. It's like lightning. It's like a lamp that produces lightning, that type of illumination. It says Purana Arko. This Purana, Bhagavad Purana, has risen like the sun, illuminating all directions and guiding the people of the Kali Yuga toward the domain Krishna. So 18,000 rayed sun, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So once under the direct guidance and inspiration of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Bhakti Vinod Thakur collected 1,000 of these rays and presented the Bhagavat Arka Marichimala like a garland of divine Bhagavat sun rays. And Srila Guru Maharaj had the inspiration to condense further into 300 slokas. And he wrote an introduction for that. He never completed that. And in that introduction, there's the sloka glorifying Gadadhar Pandit. And others. Vyas. And then one, where he says, Yadamya Mahima Sri Bhagavatyam Kathayam Prati Padam Anubhutam Apya Labdhavideya Tad Akila Rasa Rasa Murti Shama Lila Balambam Madura Rasa Di Radha Padmam Prapadye. Saying, although apparently her name is not mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, every word, every letter, every sloka is meant to glorify her and her alone. She's giving all of this illumination. Radharani reveals who is Krishna. No other. And one place, Srila Guru Maharaj says, faith is her halo. Her divine radiance, which is her love for Krishna, illuminates who he is. He is Shyama Sundar. Here words really fail. And say, oh, that, you know, Shama means dark or black, and Sundar means beautiful. But Guru Maharaj is also indicating it means he's very difficult to see. Just like we know in the dead of night, what we can't see. Again, that sort of blackness. Not here, black is so much associated with the wrong thing. Evil, or that which is, you know, a black mark on your record. No, it's always, it's not generally good. But here, he's black and beautiful. Shyama Sundar. But very difficult to see, as we said in the beginning, the infinite can only make itself known to the finite. How? In the Brahma Vimohan Lila, Muhyanti Yatsuraiha, it's told in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. It says, Abhignya Sarat, only he knows. Only he knows. For himself, by himself. Svarat. He's totally independent. He alone knows himself. Therefore, he alone can reveal himself. And although he is independent, aham bhakta paradino hyasman tantra eva bija. But in the presence of devotion, the devotee, he appears to lose his independence. One place Guru Maharaj says, Krishna is the property of Radharani and her girlfriends. that supreme reality from which everything has come, who's controlling everything. Everything is meant for His pleasure and satisfaction. Innumerable universes are being generated by Him in His spare time. He's the property of Radharani and her girlfriend. Her name is not mentioned there. But it's all meant to bring us to the point of understanding her position, the culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then understanding her supreme glorious position. Shama Lila Balambam, and the Madhura Rasa of Krishna is utterly dependent upon her. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Padibhavitadi Tabirya Eva Nijarupadeya Kalabi Goloka Eva Nivisatya Kilamabhuto Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajam. Just as Krishna expands Himself, Radharani expands herself. So the gopis, we're told, they're her extensions. She is supreme, the supreme female, as you mentioned. But part of that is that she can expand herself into innumerable female forms for Krishna's pleasure and satisfaction with an infinity of forms that are nuanced in terms of their beauty, features, characteristics. Just like sometimes that is the fantasy of males in this world. But everything has some basis upon reality. In reality, she's able to provide that. Now, she's one woman she's all combined, superior than all combined, but can expand herself into all these forms. There's subtle variation of beauty. Slightly different, the nuances of her beauty. But when they're expanded, just as when Krishna expands, they're individual personalities at the same time. So they're part of her and from her, but they're individuals. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that there's a term called Anga Jyoti. It's like there's the Brahma Jyoti. Say the jivas come from the Brahma Jyoti of Krishna. That's a general statement. But there are more specific statements. And Srila Saraswati Thakur is saying that the jivas are part of the halo of Srimati Radharani. And if you look at the very last sentence and the last purport of Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj's Bhagavad Gita, he says how the jivas, I'm paraphrasing, but regain their position in the pleasure-giving potency. That means Ladini Shakti. So as you point out, there's Ladini Shakti, Jiva Shakti, Maya Shakti, all end in Shakti. So we can understand we're part of Shakti, or potency. Chit Shakti, Swarup Shakti. She's ultimately personified as Radharani. And when Mahaprabhu was having a philosophical discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one point he basically told them, like, when Sarvabhauma is presenting Mayavad, that the jivas are God. He'll be saying, basically, that idea that, yes, God is that one substance you mentioned, but under illusion, the play, he becomes innumerable individual souls. And then one by one, they realize their divinity. This is some kind of play, according to Mayavada. But Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, the difference between the jiva and Krishna, back to Bhagavad, Amaya Prahat Tattvam, Harim Iha Paramam, Sarva Shaktim, Maya Disha Maya Vas. The difference is, he's controlling Shakti, and jivas are under the control of Shakti. This is it in a nutshell. So, there's only two choices. We are under the control of Shakti. Voluntarily, Swarup Shakti. Involuntarily, Maya Shakti. So, same, but the difference, you want to say Jiva and Krishna are the same, but they're under Krishna's control. Maya Shakti, Swarup Shakti, all Shakti. But Jiva is forever under the control of Shakti. Subordinate. And you want to say that they're the same. So, Sarva Shaktim Rasabdin. He's possessing, controlling all these Shaktis. He's Rasa personified. Tad Binam Shamsta Jivan. The Jivas, they're his parts. How are they his parts? Jiva Shakti, they're the Shakti, the atomic particle of Chit Shakti is the Jiva soul. So when they come under the shelter of the Ashraya Vigraha, Guru, Rup Shakti, Chit Shakti, and the serving function is awakened, devotion, then they regain their healthy position in the pleasure-giving potency. But male, female, we cannot impose the mundane conception of male and female on the spiritual world. Because those who are part of the Shakti, who are female, may have a male form in the spiritual world. So that means we have to reconceive male and female. So predominating moiti, predominated. Adi Purusham, Krishna is the supreme male. In one sense, he is the only male. He is the Purusha, the enjoyer. And all others are in the, besides his expansions, his Vishnu Tattva, all others are in the category of enjoyed, female. But they're Shakti. But they may have male or female forms, or they may have the form of water, or of a tree, or of a flower, of a bird. The Jamuna is in the form of river. But when Krishna enters Jamuna, her waves are embracing Krishna and offering lotus flowers to Krishna. So the bamboo trees were fully conscious, exalted souls in the spiritual world. They talk about the glorious position of their son, the flute, who's now always drinking the nectar from Krishna's lips. And gopis are envious, saying, a dried out piece of wood, nirasa, has no rasa, has become the receptacle of the... This doesn't make any sense. Yes, the spiritual world doesn't make any sense. Any mundane. It's aprakrita. Vaikunthya prithivyadi sakala chinmoy. Everything there is all constructed out of the consciousness of dedication. Whether male, female form, that's a result of its, the expression of the devotion. To embody that devotion, it's taken a particular form. Balaram, Krishna's first expansion out, his other self. He also, as his form is Ananta, becomes Krishna's Brahman thread, the chair that he sits upon. He becomes the environment to serve in that way. Everything there is conscious. So we'll say, is that throne male or female? In the case of Baladev, it's under the heading of Vishnu Tattva. But even the Vishnu Tattva wants to serve Krishna. Mahaprabhu is giving Sanatana Goswami instructions and wants to tell him certain things, but his inner remembrance of Krishna overwhelms what he intended to tell him, and he digresses in a sense by describing the beauty of Krishna. And he's saying, he starts quoting the Bhagavatam in different places where he says he's Bhushana Bhushananga. He's the ornament. Whatever comes in connection with him, not that an ornament makes Krishna look more beautiful, Krishna makes an ornament look more beautiful. And he mentions when the ladies of Mathura and Krishna comes from Vrindavan, they've heard about him. But when they actually see him, they're astonished. Gopyatta Pakti Macharan Yaramushya Rupam. They've never seen, and as beautiful as they conceived him to be and hearing about him, seeing him, they were astonished. And they thought, the gopis get to see him all the time. We're just seeing him now. So what did they do to get that viewpoint to be able to see Krishna? Gopyastapakimacharam yadamusha rupam labanyasaram asamordram anantasi. He's the cream of beauty, of beautiful things. The ultimate perfection of the eyes is realized in seeing them. And they're drinking that beauty all the time. They're thinking how exalted they must be. I mean, we see the nature of their devotion in this. They're immediately seeing Krishna, they're thinking of the most exalted devotees. So they're thinking like that. And Mahaprabhu mentioned, we hear that the goddess of fortune, she wants to have a glimpse of Krishna. Not only that, who is the goddess of fortune serving? Vishnu, right? He's making excuses to see Krishna. When the children were stolen, the Brahmin in Dwarka, and he appealed to Krishna and Arjuna to return the children, they had to go to Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu was kidnapping children to get an opportunity, saying like, I mean, this shows desperation, right? To get Krishna and Arjuna. And then when he's saying, oh, now that I've seen you, please finish up your bhajan. That's how charming is Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, when he's telling Sanatana Goswami, quoting the wives of Kaliya, Yadvanshya Sri Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kamam Suchitam Vita Vita, Lakshmi Devi engaged in austerities for lifetimes to get a glimpse of that. So we wanted to say before that Guru Maharaj explains Radharani's position, how she revealing Krishna, that Nomijate Brahmabhuse Taridambaraya, that Krishna, we're told when Brahma's glorifying him, he's blackish, but his dhoti is like lightning. So in that dead of night, in that darkness, when there's lightning, everything becomes revealed. So Guru Maharaj said, that lightning colored dhoti garment, that is his potency. That is Srimati Radharani. When that's covering him, he's revealed. Normally we think the cover shall conceal, but here there's revelation. What time is it? 8:30. So just like Guru Maharaj's example about telescopic system. Normally, you put something before the eye, it creates opacity, it's an obstruction. But if what you put before the eye is a lens, and the eye is in need of a lens, it's not seeing properly, its vision is blurred, doubled, skewed, cataracted. You put the lens before the eye, then things start coming more clearly into focus. Add another lens, another lens, another lens. We see them when you go for the eye exam. They've got a series of lenses. They put one here. And you go, oh, yes. How is it by putting 12 things in front of your eyes, everything's become clear? That doesn't make any sense. Unless they are lenses whose purpose is to give clarity, to create focus. So the lens is the devotion of the devotee. When Krishna is seen through the eyes of the devotee or through their devotion, he becomes clear. Otherwise, mysterious, abstract, irrelevant, unknowable. But through the devotee, suddenly, clarity. So in time, those pursuing Krishna consciousness realize the devotee is everything. Like with camera, they may do so many things, but someone knows and say, it's the lens. You want a Zeiss lens on your camera. When you have a Zeiss lens, then everything will be all right. And the best quality lens. So that will always be the devotee. So everywhere we look, devotion is exalted. We're saying janmadyasyata. Oh, it's all sprung from the plane of Madhura Rasa. What does that mean? From Vrindavan? What is Vrindavan? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Radha Padmanchitadam Vrindavan Dharanam. The spiritually conscious devotional soil that's embellished by the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, meaning the service of her lotus feet, that is Vrindavan. Everything comes from there. That is extraordinary. And Vyasa is saying to Narada, maybe it's because I didn't tell people this. That's why I don't feel good. I gave them another idea. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I didn't tell them substantially that the substance of reality is devotion. Swaropena muktirhat vanyata rupam swaropena vivasiti. What's the construct of a spiritual form? Devotion. What is devotion? Tadasa dasa dasanam dasatvam dehime prabho. If you're perceiving this properly, then you'll aspire for an atomic presence in that plane. That'll be the indication that you're properly conceiving. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhajaka Acharya Sattarasata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Prakash Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Rupa Anuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakti Bindi Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadipam Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Sarasvati Mat Ki Jai. Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Sanyasi Vrinda Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nithai Go Premanande Hari Vahar.